Podtecular, episode 309.
Waypoint Community Modcast, episode 27.
PAX Prime 2012.
For September 6, 2012.
Welcome to Modtacular episode number 2. I am Duststorm, joined by my co-host for the evening,
Cruel Legacy.
Alrighty. I got two other big community members that were at PAX Prime with us this year, and they are Grim Brother One from HBO.
What's up? Also, fair warning, you should never say the words big community members when you have a woman in here.
Thank you. I was
Fail.
Just about to ask.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, boy.
Are you single?
Yes, I am.
Oh, no.
We know the answer to that one.
It's a trap.
Oh, that's right. I am the only single person in this room right now.
Abort. Pull up.
Pineapples. Pineapples. And we also have Goose Jekka from Griffball Hub.
Scholarship winner. Woo!
Scholarship winner indeed, and apparently I have a new nickname of the Feminist High Council, so I wear that title proudly.
Well deserved on both accounts.
I only told you the story because I was confident you would appreciate it and knew that I said it in love.
I do, absolutely.
Do you want to really quickly share the big news with everybody?
Sure. About 2-3 months ago, Twitch announced that they were doing a scholarship program for individuals with excellence in academics and in gaming. And I applied because I don't really have excellence in gaming, but I figured maybe I could make it work. And so I went to RTX, took a lot of film, and just kind of highlighted my PAX experience, highlighted my doctoral dissertation, which is actually on video games, and the interplay between video games and psychology, and, you know, sent it in and sat and waited and waited. And then I finally got to announce today that I won. So they offered 5 scholarships of $10,000 each.
So and you got all 5 of them, right?
I wish. No, I had to share it. I got 10,000 of it.
They awarded 1 to Goose Jekka, 1 to Czech Goosa, 1 to Cal's wife.
Goose, that is seriously though, that is such a fantastic accomplishment, and it really couldn't go to anybody better deserving. So, congrats! Yeah, that's great.
I'm very excited. It's going to help a lot with doing what I got to do in the next year or so.
Yeah.
Just, you know, thanks so much to Twitch and Alienware and Steel something. Shit.
Steel Series.
Steel Series. Thank you. And to Steel Series.
Crisis averted.
And I do have to mention that I'm the only female to receive 1. The other 4 winners were male. Just throwing that out there.
They must be responsible for most video game stories.
What?
No.
No, I didn't hear you.
So they must be responsible for most video game storylines.
Yeah, they are. They are. What's interesting is that all of the winners are professional gamers, except for me. So once again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're just a professional.
Yes, I like in the articles they refer to me as a Halo expert, and I'm really not comfortable with that title. I don't know. Yeah, you're looking for Grim Brother One. He's down the road a little bit. But it's fantastic. I'm super excited. There's been a lot of really good feedback from the community. A lot of people saying congratulations, and I couldn't be happier. It's very, very cool.
Well, you're definitely one of those people who definitely deserve it. So congratulations. Oh.
Thank you. Yay.
Happy times.
I do thinky things and smashy things good.
Indeed you do.
Speaking of, should we jump to we were all at PAX Prime together this past weekend, and there was a very cool moment during the Halo panel. There were many cool moments during the panel, but one in particular that you had a particular something to do with, didn't you?
Woo! Griffball!
Yeah! Do you want to, just in case there's anyone out there who hasn't seen the video yet, do you want to share that with everybody? Tell everybody what you have to do? Yeah, exactly.
Well, at the Halo panel, they announced that Griffball would be in Halo 4, which was very, very exciting, and lots of people cheered. And then myself, Cal Bulgarian, Shanzi, and Paragus were called up, and we actually got to demo Halo 4 in front of the live audience. Only afterwards did we discover that there were about 900 people in the room while we were doing that. So it was just amazing to, well, one, even have Griffball confirm in Halo 4, to have a game type and a map all ready to go, that they wanted us to come in and give feedback and to demo it for them, was just really more than I know Cal or myself could ever have really imagined. I mean, that was something in our dreams. We didn't think it would actually ever happen.
And, I mean, I could say, I mean, the audience definitely responded to it very well. Everyone seemed really excited about the way the game type itself was looking. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, I know you've only had a brief amount of time to spend with it, but what's your impressions of it so far?
I really, really enjoy it. I like that it's faster paced. I think the bomb throwing is awesome. I think it's going to make Griffball more sport-like, more sporty. There's going to be more tactical decisions to be made. It's going to spread the field. It's going to create new positions and new strategies. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. The mechanics on the court, as soon as I pick the controller, it just...
Do you throw it with left trigger?
I'm trying to think if I...
Yeah, you throw it like a grenade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, grenade. It felt like Griffball, like the mechanics and just, there's no other word, just the feel of it. It felt like Griffball, and the weapons were well balanced like they should be. And, you know, there's a couple things, you know, the bomb not exploding is kind of tough just because when we do highlight reels, that's always like finish is the big exploding bomb. But, the fact that the rounds don't end after you score, that's a pretty big concern in the Halo community, or the Griffball community rather. That's probably the biggest contention right now.
Really?
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of concerns of if you get into the spawn and you just start spawn camping, you know, what is it going to take to get them out? And is there going to be enough time between when the bomb respawns for you to clear your spawn? And, you know, it's personally like it. I think that it's going to speed up the game. It's going to create more tactics. But I can definitely see where the community would be concerned. I think maybe tweaking it a little bit, like having it take 10 seconds for the ball to respawn. So that way you're not insta-tossing the ball from the center court to the plant and just getting 5 scores in, you know, 10 seconds.
I have a quick question for you, actually. This is on a related note, and I've always meant to ask this to you or one of the other Griffball players that I know, and I keep forgetting, but can you explain to me why we don't see more spawn cages in Griffball maps? Because I've seen maps where people have created specific rooms where the players spawn, where they're safe from spawn camping.
There's two main reasons.
If I can add to that question, why not just have a respawn zone instead of just the points?
Well, those are very good questions, and people have presented to us before, and there's two main reasons why. One, spawn killing is fine. Stat padding is bad, and spawn trapping is bad. Spawn trapping is when you figure out where the spawn is, and you just swing your hammer, and you kill the person before they actually even spawn. Those are things that, you know, the Griffball Hub doesn't enjoy. Even 343 has come out and said, don't do that. So, you know, we've got them behind us supporting us. But spawn camping, the fact that you're in the spawn doing work, that's completely legitimate. I mean, that is a tactic, because if your team has the ball, you're doing work to get your runner into the spawn. And if your team doesn't have the ball, it's kind of stupid, because then that's one less person on defense. So,
right, but just having those 4 respawn points instead of maybe having the initial 4 and then maybe have 8 respawn points instead of 4, you'd still be able to spawn in like that area, but you would kind of counteract some of the spawn camping in that regard.
Well, why the current courts don't have a situation like that? I know we tried it before, but something just, it didn't work. And I'm not a Forge person. You'd have to ask Knockyard or Nuclear Taco as to why. But there was something that we tried that and it didn't work. Like, people were spawning on the wrong side of the court. Like, they were spawning on the red side when they were blue. Mm. So that is something that we've looked into, and for some reason, for the mechanics and reach, it just didn't work. The second reason we don't have like a room or a box or whatever where people spawn is because for the defenders, it sucks. At least, you know, because if I'm trying to defend and I've got, you know, a red guy pro running towards my base, I want to spawn with my sword and I want to be there the second I spawn. I want to stab him the second I spawn. I don't want to run through a teleporter. I don't want to be stuck in a back room. I don't want to have to move through a barrier to get to him.
Right.
That's been the main reason is that, I mean, again, spawn killing is not bad. It's part of the game. It's always been part of the game. And when it's used correctly, it's fine. Like, it's a strategy and it works. But like with everything, when it's abused and when it's used incorrectly, that's when the problems happen.
Right.
Unfortunately, in Reach, the credit system rewards people pretty visibly for not achieving the objective in any of the objective game types.
Right.
It has a lot more heavy weight on actual kills than objective scoring.
And as any griftballer can tell you, sometimes the very best thing you can do for your team is to die.
Right.
I mean, runners routinely go negative 20 because they're running the bomb the whole time. You know, it's not about killing. So that's another thing I'm really excited about for Halo 4 is that their objective games, you get rewarded. You are reinforced, to use the psychology term. Play the game you're supposed to play. And I think a fantastic thing, and it's going to do so much good for the objective community.
That's good to hear from, at least from 343 standpoint. Maybe they'll fix that kind of spawning issue in Halo 4 Griftball.
I mean,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, they might. And again, you know, it's going to be a different game. You know, you might not even need to spawn camp anymore just because of the way you can move the ball around and the way, you know, everybody has sprints. So you can probably get out of the spawn, you know, pretty quick. And again, if you're not being rewarded for being a, for, you know, breaking the game, I'm hoping less people will do it. I mean, obviously you're always going to have people who want to troll and be a douche because that's what they do. But I think a lot of people, I just scratched it really hurt. I think a lot of people who stat pad, they don't do it because they're bad people. They don't do it because, you know, I'm going to troll you. They do it because they get rewarded to.
Yeah.
That's what gamers are. They are incredibly motivated.
And they're able to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. If you're trying to get your close quarters accommodation, you're going to go in and you're going to boost in Griftball. It doesn't take
or trying to get to Inheritor.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always fun, though, when people try to do that and you actually kind of beat them back.
I've got to say, some of the most satisfying moments in matchmaking is when people are trying to spawn camp you and you just trample them. It's happened a couple times. Like, we'll go in with our group of four from the hub and we'll go into matchmaking. And people are obviously trying to stat pad, and then it doesn't work out well for them. Or one of my personal favorites, it was actually on one of the highlight frenzies, is that H2O Camper was playing, and two of his teammates quit out. So it's just one teammate, and the other four tanks are just pounding this single teammate over and over again. The guy's probably even AFK. And so the runner's just doing this stupid little dance at half court. But obviously they can't count, because Puppy, the other end of the court, walks up behind the runner, stabs him, grabs the ball, plants it, and actually wins the game that way.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's funny.
It can definitely be satisfying. But again, there's this conception that, especially with Griftball Hub, that we think people are evil and we want to tell people how to play the game and all this other crap. And it's just not true. People who stat pad aren't evil. They're just trying to get the most credits from the game. And I don't hold that against them or whatever, but you just can't do it without our sight. And that's what it comes down to. Don't go
on to talk. Well, it's like BXR or super bouncing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you want to think about it from like a sports analogy, because us griftballers are very fond of our sports analogies, it's like playing soccer and you walking onto the field and grabbing the ball with your hands when you're not the goalie. The rules say you can't do it, but no one's going to hold a gun to your head if you do. But if you do it, you're going to get thrown out. And that's kind of how I see stat padding. And again, hopefully with the reward system in Reach, it just won't be an issue anymore.
So. Transitioning a little bit to from one objective game type to another, we all got the chance to play some CTF this past weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Love it.
Although I didn't get enough, in my personal opinion, but yes, it was a lot of fun.
Well, I don't think any of us did. We could have played for days and days.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's, you know, I've been seeing lots, there's some pretty significant changes to the way CTF works in Halo 4 compared to previous Halo games. Some of these changes are very controversial. I mean, I've been seeing all sorts of hoopla about it all over the forums. I think the most significant, you know, if I had to guess, is, the fact that you now automatically pick up the flag. And a close second would be the fact that you now have a gun when you carry the flag.
I don't know. I think from what I've seen, a lot of people are not liking the fact that you cannot drop the flag. I actually think that is the big change that everyone...
I just love that I'm never going to hear again, flag drop, flag taken, flag drop, flag taken, flag
well,
drop.
Well, they kind of fixed that in Reach a little bit to where it's not as annoying.
I mean, are we sure we can't drop the flag?
Yep.
I thought I dropped it, but I might have just died. So.
Well, it's been confirmed that unless they have a classic version where it's... Okay.
So I have a video up on Pod TV, if you guys go check it out. But what they said was for matchmaking, you cannot drop the flag. They didn't say anything about custom games.
Right.
But for
there's a lot that they haven't said about custom games.
They're very, very hush-hush about customs.
As far as not being able to drop the flag, I'm actually really okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
And so am I, because I know like a lot of the competitive people really don't like that, because being able to drop the flag and whip out rockets and defend the flag is kind of a pivotal thing for multiplayer MLG. But from a team aspect, to really force home the team aspect of the game, I think that's actually a good idea to make it. Once you get the flag, you have to take it home yourself.
Yeah, that's what I like about that. The only interesting thing is, like, I know a lot of times teams would get the flag and throw the flag places. Not like even, I'm not even saying out of the map, but like throw the flag like down onto a Falcon or just be strategic about moving the flag. And I know obviously that won't be something that they can do, but really for the most part,
Ghost Rider,
I'm totally fine. New type.
Yeah, I think the way I look at it is that when you're playing objective, it's a team game. You really shouldn't, if you're capturing the flag, you should have someone with you. You should have an escort. You really shouldn't be out there by yourself. And that's the way Halo 3 and Halo 2 was, is that you really needed to rely on your teammates. And with Reach, all the armor abilities really made you into like a single person wrecking crew if you knew what you were doing. And you really didn't need your teammates. There really wasn't as much team.
It was still kind of like FFA, but with only two final scores.
Yeah. So I think it's great. I think it's going to encourage team play. The only thing I'm worried about is betrayals for the flag, because when you get it close, you know, one flag plant is worth 10 kills. So yeah. I'm hoping that the betrayal penalty will be very, very high.
100 points.
I hope they've really worked the betrayal system to be a lot smarter at detecting that.
I hope betrayal booting isn't on in Griffball. That's all I can say.
Well, I mean, yeah, certain playlists probably have that and don't have it.
But yeah, and it's definitely tough, because I mean, I can see someone, you know, escorting their flag carrier all the way in and then letting the one red that's standing in the way kill the carrier. They kill the red and they pick up and walk flag the last 2 feet.
Right.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that's.
But you do get a flag assist. It's not enough. But I mean, maybe if they do detect that kind of thing where like you're within a certain distance from your flag and you die, like maybe you'll get the credit for the flag cap and the other guy gets the assist.
Yeah. I mean, I feel terrible being so cynical and being so incredibly jaded. But I know, like in Griffball, when we make a map and we make a game type, we literally try to think, how can we break this?
Yeah.
Like, what can we do to break this game type so we can fix it now?
Well, and that's how you make it a good game type.
Yeah. Yeah. So I CTF was a lot of fun. There was one point Cal and I were playing, and we just got into a rhythm. He was in the hog, and I would ride out with him, jump out, grab the flag, jump back in the hog. Our gunner would take out everybody, and we literally got 3 flag caps in about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. And that map is awesome. I mean, it's a large...
Yeah, Exile is sick.
If you run around in a circle, it's a large map. But in the vehicles are taking those tunnels through the center, it really makes it much more... I don't even know the
word. Reminds me a lot of Rat's Nest.
Yeah,
I heard someone else say that too.
Yeah, I compared it to Rat's Nest at one point, because the same setup of having a donut that goes around the outskirts, which is sort of the vehicle traversal
the
path.
Outskirts.
Oh, Jesus. And then, what are you laughing about?
The map really did flow well for CTF, because you had the two outer sides that you could take vehicles through, and then there was plenty of cover through the middle that you could run flags and kind of approach the other base. And
yeah.
I just thought from an aspect of purely just a map idea for CTF, I think it was probably one of the best CTF maps that we've seen from a Halo game.
And I think that's what I like most about what P43 has done with objectives, is that if you're not going to play flag on every single map. You're not going to play oddball or, you know, whatever game type on every single map. There are only specific maps the specific game type will be played on. And I think that's really, really smart.
I don't think it'll be quite like that. I think there's going to be maps designed for a particular game, but just like in Reach, every map is going to need to support the core game types in the game.
Oh yeah, they'll need to support them to a certain degree, but I
think they'll just be more designed towards a game type, not necessarily explicitly built for a game type.
And even in terms of what shows up in matchmaking, though, like I certainly get the feeling that based on what they've said in various interviews, that they really are trying to bring game design and map design into a closer relationship. I mean, I sort of got the feeling with Reach that they designed a sandbox they really like, and then they designed a bunch of maps that they really like, and just kind of threw them both together. And in some ways that sort of works, and in other ways it sort of doesn't. I mean, there were lots of game types on certain maps that were just horrible to play because they just weren't designed around each other in any significant way. But I think Exile is a great example of, you know, we're designing this new CTF experience, and we've got a map that takes all of these gameplay design elements into account really, really well. And you can, you know, as you're running around the map, you can sort of, you can almost see the way 343 has designed specific areas of the map to play into a certain role with that game type. And I hope that we see more of that through the rest of the map design in Halo 4 as well.
And the one remake.
Oh, what?
And the one remake that we're getting.
What do you think that is?
I'm hoping it's Terminal, but I don't know.
That would be so
much fun.
What,
the remake?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's Valhalla.
That's what I was thinking, either Coag or Valhalla. Because they said there would be no controversy, and everybody loves those maps, and they've been in every single game.
I don't know if it was in the bulletin or somewhere else they said it, but Frankie said somewhere that it's a map that has not been remade before.
Turf.
So
pick Turf.
Turf.
I want Turf.
Turf. That was one of them.
Technically, Valhalla hasn't been remade.
Right. It was an inspiration of Blood Gulch, but it's not a remake.
I guess.
So. Wasn't that what Bungie said? It was a inspired make off of Blood Gulch?
Yeah, well, it was sort of
but
like,
it doesn't have a bloody name.
It was a big team battle vehicle map with a big open space in the middle. So it was
and
sort
the two
of like
bases.
The modernized version of that. Yeah.
Although he said it would be a large map, I would be totally fine if it was Avalanche. That was one of my favorite maps to do objective games on.
Yeah, that I would love that too. Although
That's the remake of Sidewinder.
Yeah. So.
I mean, okay. I know. Was it based off Sidewinder?
Yeah. It was.
Yes, it was.
Okay. I didn't know. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to play Spartan Ops?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Oh my god!
I personally didn't play it, but I watched Jeff play it.
It is really good.
Legendary.
Yeah.
No deaths.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to interject a story.
Yeah.
Okay, if I could, because I haven't lived up to my what was it? Feminist hierarch? Is that
your feminist high council?
I haven't lived up to my feminist high council status yet. So I'm standing in line for Spartan Ops, and I've been there for a while, and I'm waiting. And I entered my name in to win the headsets, Triton headsets for Halo 4. Mm-hmm. And there's an answer guy who's going up, and he's giving away the prizes. He's very loud and obnoxious, and I'm like, whatever, I'm not paying attention to him. And so I'm right at the front of the line, so I'm pretty close to him. And he's reading down the list, and he's like, oh, look at this. We have a girl. A girl is the next winner. What do you think about that, guys? Yeah, that's right. Girls play games, too. What do you think about that? And then I yell at the top of my lungs, I think you're a fucking idiot.
Nice.
And, everybody turns around and stares at me except for him.
That's wow. So that's what you were tweeting about.
Yes, that was my rage tweet asking, who was it, Mad Cats? Yeah, asking Mad Cats what they think about their announcer's sexist comment. They never replied to me for some reason. I don't really understand why.
I wonder why that is.
It's really bizarre.
So anyway, and then I played Spartan Ops. And I do have to say the MLG Pro control I had was a piece of crap.
Yeah, I really didn't like that thing. And I've heard great things about it, but I didn't like the feel of it one bit.
Like literally, I pushed forward on the toggle and I didn't move forward.
It looks a little weird.
all the way up against the far wall of the controller, and I would just occasionally move forward in little spurts. It was very, very frustrating. So I don't know if that's the controller or if someone had busted it since it was the last day of the con.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that controller.
It was horrible. I'm sorry.
So what did you guys think of Spartan Ops, though? I mean, this was our first chance to really go toe-to-toe with the new enemy class.
So awesome.
What's the thing with the insta-death laser? Because that made me sad.
Insta-death laser?
You mean the binary rifle that the Promethean Knights have?
I call it the insta-death laser.
That's accurate.
I like that better, actually.
I only died once, and that was the reason. So, but no, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed shooting the. I'm sorry, I'm terrible with the names. The little puppy things. That sounds horrible.
Ballers.
Puppy things.
I like shooting puppies.
Promethean puppies.
The Promethean puppy. Those were a lot of fun. I did not get a grenade flung back at my face. I was kind of disappointed about that. But.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was
a lot. You should like that the kind of leader, the leader of that team is a girl Spartan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, the one that appears up on the HUD?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's wearing some really sick scout armor.
Yay. Clothed female characters. Yay.
Yay.
Let's hope she keeps her shields on.
Oh, God.
I think what I enjoy most about Spartan Ops and what I'm most looking forward to is waiting until the end of the week, so letting all five pile up, and then going in with three of my friends and playing through that story arc.
Amen. That is exactly what I'm planning to do as well.
I don't want to do it piecemeal because at PAX, I finished it, and I'm like, that's it? I want more. That's not enough. I want to keep going. You know, 15 minutes.
Oh, so you're
going
to wait till the whole thing comes out?
Yeah, because it's one. There's five a week, right?
There's five. Like, that was
five
one
chapters
fifth.
Per episode.
Yeah, but it's 10 weeks. I can't wait that long.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not waiting all, but I'll do it every week. So, like, if it comes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
No. It comes out all at one time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get like once a week.
Every week, each episode is five missions
so
long.
So be able to play basically an episode in 1 hour and be done.
Cal
with it.
Cal lied to me. So okay. Well then, no, I'm not going to wait 10 weeks. I want to do it all at once. I want to go all in, you know?
Yeah.
At the same time.
I can't wait to try them solo because I Jeff and I were in the same game together along with, who else were we playing with? It was Cal and
Grant and Brandon.
Yeah, that's right. I think you and I made it through. I mean, I know you and I made it through without dying at all.
Yeah.
I think Brandon either died once or not at all either. And it was tough. I mean, we were
Brandon
fighting hard.
Died.
Did he?
Twice,
I had three I knight assassinations. I was super excited.
Brandon was standing beside you, Jeff, right? Or was that Grant?
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember.
I think it was Brandon. I remember
Brandon
seeing him die twice.
Brandon also sat beside me playing CTF, too, a couple times, so I'm not remembering. Mm.
Well, whoever was beside you, they died twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's on video. I just haven't posted it yet.
It was tough, and but it was definitely like comfortably manageable if you had a team that was coordinated and knew what they were doing to a certain degree.
And Jeff didn't die.
Exactly, and I didn't die either, which
it's
is
obviously not
rare.
Hard enough if Jeff didn't die.
But like thanks. I was feeling like playing that solo would have me sweating bullets. You know those. Yeah. Fighting that many knights in those kind of numbers. I'll be curious to see if it scales when you have more or fewer players. Like, does it throw more enemies at you like the campaign does? Or will it be closer to something like the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer where you get the exact same thing regardless of how many people you're playing with?
Campaign doesn't throw more enemies at you, does it?
Yep.
I hope it scales because going through with the four of us, it was too easy. Like, they put it on Legendary, so I was super stoked, but I didn't really find it challenging. And that's even with the controller pushed all the way forward that doesn't work. I kind of had to, like, walk backwards through everything. So I hope that it does scale, because if I went through that by myself, it would definitely be challenging. But with four people, it was kind of a walk in the park.
Yeah,
that's
the same
a little
way.
Disappointing.
Well, I mean, and again, it's not the final make. It was just the model for PAX, and
yeah, that was the
it was the E3
there.
Build.
That was like
E3 build,
San Diego Comic Con build.
Yeah, it was the E3
build. That build is months old. I'm sure it has come leaps and bounds.
Hopefully, yes.
In that amount of time.
And so, if not, there will be skulls.
Yes. Have we...
Mythic Spartan Ops.
Have they revealed any of the skulls yet?
Nope.
No.
Do we have guesses about what the skulls might be?
I think most of them will be...
I think we're going to see returns of quite a few of them.
Yeah.
So like Iron, Thunderstorm, Black Eye.
If the party doesn't return, I'm not coming back.
Grunt Birthday Party armor effect.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because I personally like that in matchmaking. Just whenever I die, it's like, yay!
I hated that. That was made me so
laugh.
Annoying.
Really?
That made me
laugh every single time.
Is that why you don't play with me, Grim? Is because I have the Grunt Birthday Party skull on?
Aww.
No, I don't play with you because you're so much better.
Oh, but we're not playing Griffball. We're talking like Shooty Halo with guns.
No.
The statement still applies.
I don't play with you because you're always playing Griffball.
Oh, well, I am a Halo expert, apparently, so...
There we go.
That is true.
Not my words, I promise.
So, what do you guys think of the new... what was the system they called it? The dynamic status-aware HUD for Capture the Flag?
When you see the
timer, and then you see, like, escort for the person that's carrying the flag, and then the guy that's carrying the flag that says capture point. Or deliver. Mm-hmm. Says deliver. Take that back.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's a smart, unobtrusive way to reinforce clear communication to the players. I think it's something that will help new players out a lot because there's sort of no question of what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, for someone who hasn't played a lot of Halo before, there's so much going on in the average game. It can be confusing trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, what am I supposed to be doing to help my team right now. And I think it's a smart way to just add some clarity to that. I don't think it gets in the way at all for people who already know what's going on because I'm used to tuning out the HUD regardless of what it says, right?
And now there's a timer on the flag. Thank you.
Yeah, that is probably my single favorite addition to this new version of CTF because what it does and is, and this is something that we heard 343 speaking about a lot at their booth is they were really trying to get away from the bad tendencies that we saw in Reach of players always being forced to stand around and wait. You know, someone enters armor lock and you have to stand around and wait for them to come out of it. Someone drops the flag, and so you get three people all standing around next to it trying to return it. Mm-hmm. This keeps things moving. You can kill the flag carrier, and then your team can spread out, form defensive positions. You don't have your whole team just piling onto one little death trap spot and waiting, right? I think it's a nice design philosophy, and from my time with it, I think it's working. I think, you know, the flag would go down, and instantly you'd see the whole defensive team moving into positions, trying to intercept enemies on their way to the flag, and they knew they didn't have to worry standing right on it and giving away their position.
I thought it was really funny because the first time I killed the flag carrier, I ran over and I sat on the flag and just kind of looked around and was like, wait a minute. I don't have to do this.
Yeah, there's no return.
I don't have to stand here and take this. And it was cool, so I went and hid behind a bush. And it was awesome.
And then you actually have the little music that plays.
The sentry turrets on the flag to help defend it.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those turrets are great.
But going back real quick to the first question that Dusty posed about having like the indicators above everybody's heads, I actually, when I interviewed Frank O'Connor, I asked him a question about that. And he had a really good reply in that, you know, for new players, it's really, really helpful. Like you guys were saying, there's instructions, there's guidance. But after 4 or 5 games, you really don't even see it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you just get used to it being there and you don't even see it unless you're looking for it. Because believe me, when the enemy has my flag, my eyes are up and I am looking for that kill icon, mm-hmm. which I really appreciate because I have terrible, terrible time finding the flag gear here.
it's like building in a training mode without building a training mode, right? It's training the players what to do within the actual gameplay experience, which I think is really smart.
Yeah, and again, I think. It's just one of those things that if you need it, it's there, but it's not so intrusive that it's going to bother you if you don't need it.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's now the music that plays while you're carrying the flag.
And, I love it.
Cool.
And when it's two and two, like for the last point to win, there's also that music, and then there's the music for overtime.
That's great. I don't have to hum to myself anymore. The soundtrack is actually there.
I thought it was great. It does a great job of adding a little bit of tension in those key moments. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
And it's very subtle, too.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get to play it enough to kind of see how it affects the rest of the sounds of the game, and I don't think the headsets that they had were really that high quality. So I'm wondering from people who are really into the competitive stuff who really rely on like Astros to pick up those tiny sounds like footsteps and stuff, how much that music is going to interfere with that, if it does at all.
That's a very good question.
It's like, yeah, you have that music, which is really cool, and it gets your heart pumping even faster, but then how much are you losing from having those sounds?
Is it drowning out those audio cues? Yeah, that's right. A very good question. And I think the obvious solution is to have it be optional, like to have the ability to deactivate that music.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see what they do and what the final mix is like. I mean, I had issues with some of the audio cues, but I think that's because the audio was still unfinished and it was buggy and weapon sounds were cutting in and out and
vehicle sounds were cutting in and out.
So I couldn't tell.
So many bugs.
Yeah, when the music kicked in, I couldn't tell if it was affecting my ability to hear things or if it was just things cutting in and out like they were before. So that'll be something I'll be paying really close attention to once the game ships.
And then there's the new announcer voices.
Oh, that's so much fun. Road trip!
Yeah, road trip.
I think it's great that he just got to have a ball and just go all out and really just, you know, emote the emotion that you're feeling. Because, you know, when you get that splatter, that's exactly how you feel. You know, it's not rope. It's like, well, yeah, it's...
And now you get that for a full hog now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I think the additions they've made, and I mean, overall, the fact that Halo 4 is so much faster paced and pretty much every tweak that 343 has done has enabled more interactions, more gameplay, cutting down on wasting time, like, you know, extended respawn. That was probably one of the things I was most worried about was instant respawn. That doesn't sound very cool. And now I'm sitting in Halo Reach spamming X, like, why can't I spawn faster?
Yeah. Actually, that's something worth... thanks. You reminded me there, Goose. Something that I feel was worth mentioning is that when I played the big team battle, Team Slayer build that they had at Fan Expo in Toronto a few weeks back, the build included instant respawns. And then when I played the build at PAX this past weekend, of course we were playing a different game type. We were playing the CTF game type.
Right.
Yeah. But one thing that I noticed is that, so they had a 10 second respawn timer, just like we're used to with Reach and previous Halo games. But one thing that I noticed as I played myself and then also as I watched other people playing is that there were a lot of times where someone would die and the countdown timer would start and you'd see them instantly jump to their loadout screen and they'd start tweaking their loadouts and then they'd run out of time and the timer would count down and then boot them back into the match before they'd finish selecting their loadouts. And a few people there noticed this, and I've, you know, it's been commented on in some videos as well. And I actually asked one of the 343 reps at the booth about that, about, you know, have they thought about giving you the 10 second countdown timer and then it's press X to join, so that if you're still working on tweaking your loadout, you have time to do that. And they didn't give me any exact explanations or specifics, but what they did say is that the way the respawning was working in the PAX build was intentionally specifically done for the PAX build because they wanted to keep people in the game and keep people from maybe exploring the menus too far or maybe, you know, seeing stuff that maybe, you know, they shouldn't be seeing yet. So I just thought that's worth addressing because I know a few of us there were wondering the same thing after seeing people run into that a bit. So
I thought they said something about not being able to not spawn to keep the game going and to not just have someone camp in loadout screen for an entire game. Because if you're basically down a man, you're not...
That's what I was wondering.
Well, there's
it would be like a weird hidden league gamers.
Well, there's ways around that. I mean, games like Mass Effect 3 have auto kicks where if they don't detect input on your controller for a certain amount of time, they assume you're AFK and they just kick you out of the game. And so something similar could be done with, you know, if you just spend too long in a menu or if you go AFK for too long, it could automatically boot you out of the game. Yeah, I'm personally a bigger fan of that versus forcing someone back into the match when they're right in the middle of customizing their loadout, especially given how much emphasis they're placing on being able to customize your loadout.
So maybe do it this way. Maybe spawn them in the game, but don't kick them out of the loadout screen.
That would be an option as well, actually. That would make sense.
Because if I remember right, didn't they announce several months ago that people would be able to drop out and join games in the middle without interrupting the game?
Yes.
So that makes me think that if you are AFK...
But I don't think that was specifically that you're joining... I don't think it's that you can drop out of a game and then rejoin. I think it's that you can join into a game in progress in certain matchmaking playlists. I don't think they say anything about dropping out of a certain game, going and changing stuff, and then coming back in.
No, but that goes hand in hand with the ability to like have automatic boots and things like that. Because in Reach, if a teammate gets booted out of the game, it sucks for the entire team because now you're down a player. But
especially in objective matches.
Yes, but now having now that we know that players will be able to join mid-game, it means it frees them up to be able to boot players out of the match if they're causing problems, and then just replace them with someone else a few seconds later.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, is that if you have someone who's AFK, if the game is able to boot them, that means that the game will then be able to bring somebody else in. I think that would be pretty cool too.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
But I'm assuming you guys, of course, did, but read the bulletin and the Q&A that they had?
I've read through some of it. It's a pretty long one, so I haven't had a chance to read through the whole thing completely.
Then you need to go to the very last question.
Oh, and... I did see that question.
Okay,
it had your name on it, so I was like, I need to read this or else someone might smash me with a hammer.
That's always a possibility, but butt space. I did not know that was a term.
But
I did not either.
I'm glad that has been introduced to my gaming vocabulary. But
is it like anus armor?
No.
This is a good week for you, Goose, with a lot of new like words and phrases.
It is. It's very exciting. I mean, it's been so exciting for everything, for PAX, for Griffball, for the scholarship, for butt space. I mean, it all ranks like right. Oh, Feminist High Council. It is all like way, way up
Tofu
there.
Tofu personality.
Okay.
Tofu personality. Yes, that is going into my dissertation.
Wait,
I hope you know that.
Where did that come from?
I want a screenshot.
You're gonna have to. You're gonna have to refresh my memory here. WTF is butt space?
On the Halo bulletin.
Read the bulletin.
Read the bulletin. It's under my question. It's the very last question on there.
Okay.
And, but yeah, butt space. As far as tofu personality, it was a conversation Grim and I were having about a specific individual, not within our awesomeness, but outside of our awesomeness. And basically, it's a person whose personality changes based on who they're around.
Yes.
So I thought that was just the most perfect visual representation, the best metaphor for what was going on with this individual. And
they're like a spongy non-human.
Yeah, yeah, they absorb the flavor of whatever they're currently cooking with.
All right,
it's the worst kind.
All sorts of vocabulary building going on.
I feel smarter already.
Really, I don't.
We're just bringing it down to our level.
I'm so lost and confused.
We just want scholarships too.
Well, be sure to apply next year. You know, enroll yourselves in school because that's kind of the important, another important part about it.
I'm just gonna send in your bar graph in my application.
I
see,
like it.
A former winner says I'm awesome, so ergo,
I am awesome by proxy.
I'm awesome.
That's kind of how I got my last job, actually. But
I think that's kind of how I've gotten every job.
Yeah. Maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Yeah, it's hard to believe PAX was over a week ago. I mean, that's when I left. I left last Wednesday. It's hard to believe it's been over for so long.
Wait,
You got there last Wednesday.
It hasn't been over. It hasn't been over for a week.
That's what I meant is that for me, it's been, since I went, it's been a week.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I just got back not even 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I saw that. You stayed, I can't blame you for wanting alone time with Rukari, so.
Well, you know.
We'll leave it there.
That's a little too much time with being in Mod Mansion.
Oh.
No such thing.
There are no limits on Mod Mansion.
I didn't get quite enough snuggling.
Oh, yeah? So why couldn't I come?
Because you're huge.
You just said there was no limit.
I said no limit on time, not limit on volume.
Oh, you didn't? No, you just said there was no limit at the Mod Mansion. You didn't say limit on what.
All right, fine.
Oh, wait,
I think we need to hug and make up. But I will never forget the morning that I came out, because Cal and I only spent one evening there. Rukari was nice enough to house us for that.
Rukarbecue.
And I come out into the living room, and all of the boys are awake, and they are all shirtless. All of them.
Different nights.
Most of them just in their boxers, and I will never forget, because I'm trying to be polite, and I'm kind of averting my eyes and whatever. And Minolta just stands up, faces me straight on, and is bare chestedness and just, full on in front of me. He's like, "Hey, Goose." And I'm like, "Oh God," I'm like trying to look away because he's only in his boxers and I'm so embarrassed. And, but they're acting like it's fine. Like it's just chill. This is what guys do. We sleep half naked with each other. And so yeah. I thought that was very nice.
Isn't that what girls do too?
No, not typically. There's more pillow fights when girls hang out.
Tickle fights.
Sure.
Yeah, guys are pretty shameless when it comes to like sleeping close to each other.
Yeah, it's like which one of us is the sweatiest and hairiest. It kind of turns into a bit of a contest.
I mean, I kept tweeting about how George like kept on like putting his feet over on my side of the bed the whole time during PAX.
Or finding, I think it was Sir Pwnage, Brandon, who someone had to tell me he was there because all there was this lump of covers. And I almost stepped on him because it didn't look like a human being was in there.
Goose.
Did he look like Batman?
No, he was under the other blanket. But when he took that, okay. Then he looked
so,
like
Batman. Just I need to ask this, but Grim, who were you giving the dignified motion to in that gift?
That was Brandon. I was just
that
about
was Brandon.
To say.
Yeah. That was Brandon in his Batman Snuggie.
Yeah. If anybody is unaware of what we're talking about, about.
Not the boot, but about.
Go to my YouTube channel or to my website, cruellegacyproductions.com, and look for a post near the top called Halo in Real Life Epic Teabag Guy.
All I've got to say is that Grim must have quads of steel to do that for 2.5 minutes.
I did. That is a full loop.
Got that one guy to keep walking by the camera at the exact same angle.
Yeah. While he was running laps.
Yeah. But no, that was.
That's how I would work out every morning to prepare for all the packs walking.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I just teabag Brandon for about 2.5 minutes.
Why do I have a feeling?
Why he was always in such a good mood when he woke up?
You know what? That wasn't the worst thing that happened to him all weekend. So.
Oh God.
That's.
Why do I have a feeling that's going to become a thing? Like every event that Devin goes to, we're going to have some weird GIF loop with that.
It's what I do. It's
strangely erotic music.
I know it kind of works its way into your brain and under your skin and into your heart, and before you know it, you just
and other places.
You can't stop.
So I know we're running out of time, but we didn't even hit on the fact that you have a weapon now with the flag.
Oh, the Flagnum.
That's yeah, the Flagnum.
Yep.
I'm totally fine with it.
Yep.
Yeah, no big.
I didn't get a good chance to look at it, but is it the same as the regular Magnum, or is it actually, does it look and feel like a different weapon? Because
I think it's the exact same thing. It just has unlimited ammo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the bulletin, if unless I'm mistaken, I think one of the things they mentioned in the bulletin is that they're playing with the idea of giving you a slight damage boost when you're using it while carrying the flag, which would differentiate it from the standard pistol in terms of damage, at least. But it's still the same physical model, same accuracy and rate of fire. So,
but you don't have zoom.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
I hope they don't change it, because I can tell you when they did all that with Reach, when there was the title update and there was the downloaded and there was the title update with the downloaded and the download, I couldn't do it. I literally just could not play Reach Slayer anymore because I had no
idea. No. It should be the same across the board. I agree with that.
So. Absolutely. Because that was, I'm like, do I have my 4-shot pistol or should I go switch to my DMR? And no, keep it simple, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on the
same
page.
And the fact that if you're still wielding two primary weapons, you can still use the Magnum when carrying the flag, that was a big thing too.
Yeah, it's like you have three guns.
Yeah.
Well, it's, but you don't have access to your other two primary weapons when you pick up the flag. I mean, that's sort of the point, is it doesn't matter right. what weapons you're carrying. The flag comes with a pistol.
The flag is the weapon.
Exactly. Like, there's a pistol stuffed onto
it's
the
handle
there.
It's still the insta-kill flag.
Yep, melee. Which, but you know, I think it worked fine in my experience. It's different. This is something I think a lot of people need to sort of, not to sound snarky about it, but I think a lot of people need to sort of just chill out and wrap their heads around the fact that it's different doesn't mean it's bad. And I
yeah,
found,
every Halo game so far has been different. Why are they still fans if they didn't like it before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you should just do what I tell you to do and make it exactly how I want it, because obviously I'm a professional game designer.
There we go.
Yep.
You know,
are you talking about like 50% of the Halo population that are not community leaders?
No comment. no, like, again, it's change. Everybody, you know, there's some people who are just not good with change. The people who were really good at Halo 2 didn't want to move to Halo 3 because they would most likely experience the loss of status. It's the same thing with Reach. People who are really good with Reach are going to be concerned about Halo 4 because they want to be the most legit sniper on the court, or, you know, court. Griffball.
Busted.
But, you know, I think it's very exciting, and I think if you're open to change, I think it's just going to be a better experience that way.
And you know, I'll be the first person to admit, like, if Halo 4 comes out and after playing it for a few weeks or a month or whatever, if we discover that there's some pretty severe exploits using that flagnum, or not being able to drop the flag is causing some really big problems, I'll be the first person to start shouting from the rooftops and complaining and being a, you know, a whiny, noisy little complainy pants. But, you know, when most of the complaints are coming from people who haven't even touched the game or been in the same room as it yet, you know, it just makes me want to say, guys, just chill out. It's designed as a totally new experience from the ground up. And, you know, I think everybody I talked to who got their hands on it, was at the very least intrigued by it. Like, some people really loved it. Some people didn't get enough time with it to really say one way or the other, but they wanted to spend more time with it. You know, it seems to be, from the limited time we've all spent with it, it didn't seem to be having any obvious balance problems. It just, the whole game flows differently. The speed and maneuverability of the flag carrier, the offensive power of the flag carrier, is it just brings something new to the table. I will say that, you know, I spent some time as a flag runner. You still feel underpowered compared to everybody else, even though your default speed is the same as everyone else. And even though you have this, this Magnum at all times, you still feel like you're the one with one big red bullseye over your head, and that everybody.
Well, you basically do have a big red bullseye over your head.
Exactly. And it's like,
here's the flag. You need to stop this guy.
And it's very, that fact is very apparent. So you feel like a target the whole time. Like, you do not feel overpowered. So I don't think people need to worry about it from that sense. It just means that, again, I think it all plays into this idea of keeping the game moving. Everything from, you know, giving you the Magnum to forcing you to pick up the flag when you touch it, removing the ability to drop the flag. It all just seems to be about forcing the game to keep moving, keep flowing, keep the team focused on each other and working together. And so far, I like it. I really, really like it. And I just, you know, I came away from it just dying to spend more time with it. So.
And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind. Nobody got up, threw the controller down, and rage quit at the Halo 4 booth. You know, people who have had the chance to play it a little bit, I actually haven't heard a negative thing about it. On the other hand, for those in the community who haven't had that opportunity, I can totally understand concern, like expressing concerns. I mean, most of the reasons that people do that is because they love the franchise so much, they're worried about it. You know, they want it. Care of it.
Yeah.
It's something they're passionate about. And the amount of people who believe that they should make changes because they deserve it, because they have that whole entitled thing going on, that's really, really the fewest of them. The majority are people who have been playing for a long time. They love the franchise. They love the game. And they just want to make sure that it is living up to all their hopes and dreams.
Well, I think 343 has kind of really realized who those people are and kind of picked out the really important information from the community as a whole. And I think they've really tailored the game to really satisfy the experience and give us a new, unique twist on Halo. Because if you, I mean, especially with having or not having the ability to drop the flag anymore, that's something that they came up with on their own, but it's not really a bad thing. It's an interesting twist to the game. Granted, a lot of people don't quite like it, but I think from our standpoint as community leaders, it's an interesting change to the dynamic of Halo, and it's something that will work.
Yeah, and again, it comes down to being open to new experiences. Be willing to try it. Don't play one game and decide this sucks. You know, every game takes, you know, weeks to really get into and to absorb and, you know, get the controllers down and get your strategy and figure everything out. So, yeah.
And I think people kind of forget this often, but 343 is composed of a lot of people who are big fans of Halo. They're not just game developers that are there to make a living off it. They truly live and breathe Halo because they care about the franchise.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one big thing that 343 has going for them that a lot of these other developers don't necessarily have, or they don't really vocalize to the community.
I mean, I think all developers love their game, but I think with 343, it's the matter that they love the game before they worked on it, and they brought that passion in and built it into the game from day one.
Yeah, that's something that we had an episode about a month ago, a little over a month ago, with where I had a gentleman named Christian Spicer on the show, and he was asking the question to me of, you know, how long do I think it'll take for Halo to hit that point of feeling dialed in or churned out the way some other franchises have maybe become in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of theorizing to him at the time that, I mean, who knows? It could happen soon. It could never happen. But right now, I think the franchise is in the best possible place it could be, because they've got a huge team of, I mean, how big is 343's team? It's got to be about 300
it's
people.
It's 200
now.
300-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was 200.
All of whom are there because they want to make a Halo game more than anything else. And 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, who knows if that'll still be the case. But right now, every single person in that building is there because that's what they want to dedicate their life to right now.
Yeah.
So I think that the Halo series in that regard is in the best hands it could possibly be.
And we appreciate the hell out of that.
Hell yeah. Well,
I think we all really liked what we saw, though.
Yeah, I'd say so.
There's, you know, it's a game. Nothing's going to be perfect. So there will be things to pick out. There will be things that are, I liked this better in Reach. Maybe not Reach, but I like this better in 3, or I like this better in 2, or whatever. But, you know, it's there'll always be, it'll be really good overall, I think.
I would say, though, if there's one thing that I had to pick out that I think would need to be changed, I think the auto pickup.
You're not digging that?
No.
I like it a lot for objective games, other than Griffball.
Well, it's just like, because you may be going around there, and what if you're shooting someone and you accidentally pick up the flag and, like, okay, now you're dead because you were trying to move around. You weren't trying to pick up the flag, but
should have had better awareness.
Yeah, see, might
and you might have a buddy coming. It's like, well, you have the sniper, and you want to defend him as he comes and picks up the flag.
See, I think that's a valid point, but my counter to that would just be that the only reason that that's an issue is because you haven't had to worry about that up until now, right? Like, I think that if one,
well, if there's a weapon by the flag too.
Well, then that's up to the designers to not put a weapon by the flag, right?
And that's why I like the auto pickup, because I cannot tell you how many times I have been under fire and I'm running for that flag to touch it, to get a hand on it, to try and save it from resetting.
Oh, yeah. And you grab a weapon or get in a vehicle instead.
I'm like, God, son of a, you know.
That's something that David Ellis mentioned in particular as an intentional design choice, was it helps get around the teams who would use parking a vehicle on top of the flag instead of defense, right? Like, and I'm sure, I guarantee everybody will have one of those moments where they're not quite familiar with their surroundings yet, and they're sidestepping in the middle of a firefight, and they accidentally step over the flag, and they're like, oh, damn it. But the trade-off, I think the trade-off will be worth it. I think the trade-off of what this does, it makes, in a lot of ways, this sounds counterintuitive, but making it an automatic pickup makes it a more intentional focus, the act of getting the flag. Like, you're not going to be casually walking around it sort of looking for guns and looking for grenades or camping. Like, if you are stepping anywhere near that flag, you are going for it specifically and intentionally with the idea of running the flag. And I like the change that that's going to bring.
Now, that actually makes more sense now that how you explained it. So
I didn't notice. Is the flag on the radar?
You know, ooh, I didn't notice either.
I didn't notice that.
I'm also thinking, you know, having that the field awareness, you know, if the flag's on the radar.
I don't remember if it is or not.
See, I never looked because it's on the HUD.
Right. Yeah. I didn't look for my radar, but, you know, if I'm like Dust Storm and I'm backing up trying to protect it or whatever, if I can glance at my radar and see it, that also might help. But I honestly don't remember. I didn't look.
Yeah, me neither. That's a good point, though.
Yay, radar.
Yay, radar.
Real Spartans use radar.
I do like the fact that you have the vehicle avatars on your radar now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Ooh. That was so good.
Yeah, I like how they have their little logos and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's so, so
biggest
cool.
Thing for that was helpful was their orientation, whether or not they're facing you or maybe they're leaving, you know, like if you're in their range of fire.
Well, for a tank, it really doesn't help because you don't know which direction that turret's facing.
Well, I mean, for me, the fact that there's not just a giant red blob moving towards me, you know, if it's a Banshee, I know I need to take cover. If it's a Warthog, I know that I need to get, you know, side to side or do something or find a plasma pistol or, you know, whatever, get my stickies ready. So, and it also looks really cute. I'm sorry. It's
cool. Well, and it might change your opinion on whether or not to challenge the vehicle, because if it's a tank and you can sneak up behind it, then you would go for the board. But if maybe it's the front, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to get shot by the tank. So it's also affects how you strategize on approaching vehicles.
Absolutely.
Or in retrospect, retreating from them.
And I think that just plays even more into making the game faster paced. Because if I'm not standing around guessing, do I engage? Do I not? I don't know what that is. You know, there's less time thinking, what is that? And there's more time going, I know what that is and I know how to tackle it.
Yeah, it's just more of a way how 343 is making the game a lot more fast paced. And someone is
vacuuming or something.
moving their desk.
I think that's Jeff.
I think that is Jeff.
What? Yes, that was my mic. Sorry.
It sounded like you were vacuuming, dude.
That was. Grim Prime flipped the computer around to say something. So now all of our listeners will have felt his presence.
There we go.
I do love him.
We should probably start closing out, guys. Did you have any other last minute things you wanted to bring up? Last points you wanted to mention?
Nah, I think it's good for now. Looking forward to part two of Hero Awakens.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I wonder how many parts they're gonna have. I'm guessing at least three.
I don't know about that. I think it may just be two. And we should be getting our next weapon video if I am feeling the tremors correctly.
No, those tremors are just the it's the reverberating effects of all the dubstep.
Oh, that's good. And I think Covenant is next.
Yeah, Covenant and then Promethean.
Not a fan of the Wub-Wub, I gotta say.
Yeah, because that was shown off. That was I never got my hands in it, but apparently George went to town with it.
Oh yeah, I was filming him when he did. He really lit them up.
He was ecstatic on that.
Yeah.
I do want to say before we close out, shout outs to 343 for the wonderful booth that they had at PAX. The team there did a wonderful job getting everyone in, getting people to play games. And shout outs to Kevin, Allison, and Jess for throwing a special awesome party that we cannot talk about. But they know it, and I know they listen. So major shouts out to them and all the 343 team for such an amazing weekend.
Kevin Franklin. Don't forget to mention Kevin Franklin.
Oh, yes, Kevin Franklin. Well.
Yay, Kevin Franklin. Franklin.
Sorry.
In Franklin we trust. Kevin Franklin.
Allison and Jess. all the people who came out and judged the large cup.
The large cup.
The large cup.
If you guys haven't seen
Allison's
that, there's a video on Pot TV as well, and it's crazy. Like there's like ten minutes,
many people in that small a space with all the flash bulbs and the camera phones, and it was ridiculous.
I know we had like 12 or 15 people with their cameras out recording the whole
thing.
Yeah,
we had right at like 60 people packed in the room.
Cozy.
Yeah. Smelly.
Hot. Sweaty.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I just
love
like
12 pounds of chocolate? Yeah.
I just love the fact when Allison's was like, can we check on my mom to make sure she hasn't been squashed?
She was so cool.
Are you kidding? Her mom commanded the attention of that room.
Yeah, her mother was very...
She was totally fine.
Yeah, she was great.
It definitely helped me see where Allison gets her awesome from, so...
Aww.
Although Lars from Norway, if Allison's mom is partaking again next year, he's got to bring the dark chocolate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, now we're getting into playing the judges, which is just a whole other...
Well, we have one of the judges here, so.
So, are we done?
I think so.
I think that's a wrap. Yeah. So.
I don't like
getting... He's like, I'm sorry, I've got my scholarship, and now I'm out of here.
As a podcast host myself, I don't like dead air. I don't like having to go back and fill dead air. I don't like going back and get rid of dead air.
There's a fancy
little
tool.
Wait, you bother doing all that stuff?
There's a fancy little tool in Audacity that removes that for you.
Wait, there is?
Yes. What?
Oh no.
Yes, there is.
Tell me.
As long as there's not a tool to remove hot air, otherwise we'd have nothing left.
We have nothing left.
Yeah, there is. I'll tell you guys.
Okay, that would be fantastic.
But yeah, so...
And on the next episode, we have Podtacular Audacity Tutorial.
Yeah, if the app's modcast suddenly becomes 60% shorter, you all know why.
I've done... I mean, look at how many podcasts I've done. About
Audacity.
150.
Yep.
So, I know my stuff.
In Dustin we trust.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you so much to Goose Checker for joining us tonight. Is this your first modcast?
Nope.
Am I forgetting one?
Wait.
It's your first modtacular.
It is my first modtacular. It might be my first modcast because I know we had Nevin and Grim on a hubcast.
Yeah, I've been on a couple hubcasts.
Yeah, I've been on multiple hubcasts.
This might be the first time we've had you on the modcast, which I believe so.
Yeah, it is actually.
I mean, I'm glad we finally did it. It's been a long time coming. So
yay!
Yeah, thanks.
You like me? You really like me?
Of course.
Now that I have my scholarship, I see.
Yeah, you see what we're
convenient. Convenient.
Dang it, she found out our secret.
Thank you so much for having
us. We wanted the blessing of the council.
We'll have to work harder. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we're doomed.
Hey, Nevin, at least we have that cool thumbnail that she linked to us to use for this episode.
Oh,
yeah. There you go. Enjoy that.
Banner image. Yeah, no, it'll really help out with the hits on my site, that's for sure.
Right.
Put some new ads up on the sidebar.
Good thing we don't do this live in studio. It would have helped with the hits to our face.
For those who obviously cannot see what's going on one at the bottom of one of the interviews that I did was this giant sidebar of boobs. It was like an entire set of 15 articles all about boobs.
That's my
Are you sure that wasn't the picture that the guys were looking at, Jeff?
Yeah, it could have been.
It was.
No, it was definitely not.
All right, you sexist bastards. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Best Indigo show ever.
For Podtech.
Thanks to the Feminist High Council for joining us.
I am not a council. Oh, wait, that's a committee. Oops.
Yeah. Oh, you screwed up. You can't screw up a Star Wars reference.
She's going to send her gaggle of griffballers to smash us with their hammers.
I don't know. I do my own work. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I don't need men to go and do my work for me. I am perfectly capable of
There's
taking...
There's more women on your griffball teams than just you. There's Snickerdoodle. There's a few other people.
Name another one.
Jessica.
Name another one.
I don't know any other ones, personally.
There we go. You can name three female griffballers.
Hey, that's better than one.
In his defense, he might have a hard time naming three females.
Wow.
And with that...
just swing it down low there, Jeff. Just... Gosh. Oh gosh. So yeah, thank you guys for listening for Podtacular and for the Waypoint Community Modcast. If you did not get to PAX, you missed out on a lot. If you did, then we probably met up with you and probably had a good time.
Oh baby.
Interpret that how you please.
But, that pass.
Oh, but
yes. Thanks a lot, guys. When's the next episode of Podtacular coming out?
Tonight. But it's the one that we technically recorded before this one. So that one's going to come out.
Oh my God.
This one will come out, and then we'll probably do another recording this weekend.
Link me, and I'll put it up on HBO.
Yeah, link me. I'll put it up on the hub.
Will do.
Very cool. All right.
Although Nevin will probably get his out before mine because I have two podcasts to edit. Wow! Really?
All of us, you're the one who...
I am not trying to be like that, and you guys, your heads are just way up in the gutter or somewhere else. Wow!
I bring an entire weekend with Green Army. It's not my fault.
That's true.
Yeah, right?
Wow!
All right, I think we're out of here, guys. Thanks again, and we'll catch you all soon.
All right. Bye. Sounds good.
Yay!